Amen. That's the greatness of God. All right. It's time for God's word. You know, the interesting thing about the passage today is something that we all are guilty of. And no one wants to say amen with me. Amen. I know you are. I know I am. And God's word is going to help us to look into the guilty verdict that has been placed upon every one of us. Amen? And as we prepared our hearts this morning, considering facing our foes, big and small, growing personally to overcome the enemies that often defeat us. Facing our foes. Today we're going to talk about idols of the heart. I just hear, That means something is happening. Idols of the heart. Isn't that something interesting? Now, I don't know what your idols are. Some of us got so many idols. But let's just look to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we want to thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to stand here and speak your word. I'm not worthy of your word, Lord, but I ask, Holy Spirit, that you come and speak your word and that I will be transformed, that we will be transformed through your word, and that your word will go forth and accomplish the purpose for which it's been sent. Take control, Lord, of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Idols of the heart. For our YouTube blog, we have this on YouTube, but let's just read it quickly. Say, what comes to your mind when you hear the word idol? You think about, you imagine a statue, right? And as Christians, most of us don't bow physically to statues or worship idols. We don't. If you do, then I mean you gotta go through the new member class with Stuart. But we don't worship idols, right? But does that mean we don't have trouble with idols? Somebody say yes, we don't have trouble with idols. We do, right? Absolutely, we have trouble with idols. Are there other idols that we feel fall prey to? Absolutely, yes. So let us look into God's word. Not my word, but God's word. What God's word says about idols. You know, when I was preparing the message, I was telling Pastor Gary, I said, I pray that God will help me. Help me. So it can't be my message. It can be his message. So someone won't be sitting there on the side of my voice, say, he's speaking to me. He knows about me. He's talking about me. God talking to you, not me. Amen. For our eternal truth, it said, because of who God is, when it comes to out of who God is and what he has done for us, he should always come what? First. Sometimes our idols come before God. And we're going to see that later. But here's something interesting. You must never let anyone or anything captivate your what, imagination or your allegiance in such a way to replace or weaken your what? Devotion to God. Is someone guilty here this morning? Thank you for the few that agree. But the few that have not agreed probably won't go along with John the band and understand what we're talking about here this morning. So when we talk about idols, we say it's a statue in the days of old in Genesis when the children of Israel was in Egypt. They were in captivity, Egypt. Egypt has so many gods. The god of the sun, the god of the harvest, the god of the river. You name it. They got so many gods. And so when God rescued the children from Egypt, bringing them to the promised land, the 10th commandment God gave them was to now what? Worship no other what? God besides me or before me. Do not worship. So you will say, but I'm not worshiping, Pastor. I'm not worshiping any other God. I serve only one God, the God who created the heaven and earth. Are you sure? So by the time we leave from here today, I want you to go home and do a self-examination. Write down where, because none of us here can see each other out of, only you. But by the time you get home, by the time the message over, try to calculate and mark down and say, okay, this area, I got this idol, I got that idol in my life. Amen? So, first of all, we want to look at a couple of things. We want to look at, want to identify those idols. You guys say that idols. And I love that picture. Don't we? Don't we worship money? It's so powerful, very powerful, that the Bible said the love of money is what? The root of evil. So we want to look at the definition of idol, we want to look at the nature of idol, and we want to look at common idols in our lives. So let's quickly look at the definition of idol. You know, I was trying to find something, and I came across this idol definition from D.M. Lloyd-Jones. I was looking at his, one of his article, and he talks about idol. And this is how he defines idol. He said, an idol is anything in our lives that what? Occupies the place that should be occupied by who? God what? So, we getting guilty? Are we getting guilty? And he didn't stop there. He said, anything that is what? Central in my life, anything that seems to me essential, an idol is anything by which I live and on which I what? Depend. Anything that holds such a controlling position in my life that it moves and rouses and attracts so much of my what? And what? Attention. Woo. Not only that, but my what? My energy and what? And Benjamin. That's why he says, and I love that. So if we could just take the definition of idol, we could pray and just leave. Right? Just take the definition and say, let's go there and pray. Just take the definition with you. But I love what John Piper said in his own definition, right? He said, anything in the world that successfully competes with our love for who? Is an idol. So, those who weren't thinking that they have idols, you agree with us now, you're getting along. So, idols is not something, it's not that statue that we see, we'll bow down to and worship. No! Because if I, Pastor Gary, I pay a visit to your house and see something in your corner there, we're not satisfied with it, we'll say, what is that? Well, praise God, we don't have that, right? We don't see that. But there are idols that we don't see, that you see, you know, and I know. And that's why we want to take a look at this morning. We now have got the definition of idol at the back of our mind. And now, knowing what idol is not only a statue or anything that you have in the corner that you worship or put your whatever you design or look at it to be part of your life. We're not only talking about that, but there are other things that can serve as idol that takes away the time of God. And guess what God says about idols, right? In Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, because you know how idols is essential, he said,
You shall have no other gods before me.
He was speaking to the children of Israel when they were leaving Egypt, going to the promised land.
He said, you shall have no other gods before me. Because he knows they were in Egypt, and in Egypt, the Egyptians served false gods. They served idols. And God knows that the children of Israel spent over 400 years in that land. There is possibility that they adapted themselves to the way and life of the Egyptians. So going to the promised land, God had to remind them, do not serve no other gods beside me. Now, we're not going to the promised land. We are here serving God. But God is saying to us, you should not serve no other god before him. We live in a world today, so many things are happening that take us away from God. And we're going to look at those things. And God is saying, you may not have that structure in your home that you bow down to, but those things that you have in your heart is what serving as an idol. And I don't like it. He said, you shall not make for yourself craft image and likeness, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth. But I just want to go back the Lord on the line and say, for I, the Lord your God, am what? If we human are jealous, what do you think about God? If you have your spouse, your wife, and you're not spending time with your wife, and we're going to look at that too. How you think your wife, you know, when Brenna was pregnant for, I got so many kids, so I have to remember. Brenna was pregnant for, help me, Doris, D. Yes, I got it now. I was in school, and I seemed to be working, so I have classes in the morning. I go on campus, from campus. I leave the house like 10 o'clock and go on campus. From campus, I go to work, from work. By the time I get home, it's about 12 midnight. And I have to study, do a sermon before. So one night I came home, she had warmed my food up, everything, and I got you showering. And then I went straight on the computer doing my work. And yes, my wife, pregnant, almost about to give birth, and she came to me, whispered in my ear, and said, baby, do you still love me? And I'm like, yeah, why are you asking that question? And she walked and went in the room. And God just spoke to my heart, said, get up and go to your wife. She's been home all day. And I come home, my attention is not on her. My attention is on my schoolwork, on my job, and all those things. That was my idol, church. And I realized that I had to pay attention to my pregnant wife. Maybe that's why Doris resembled me so much, because. But God said, if mankind is jealous, what do you think about God? That you will put something before God. When you are his creation, you were created to honor him, to love him, to serve him. Your purpose was to commit to him. And now you got a different thing that is, your time is so consuming that he's no longer in that picture. You may be that good Christian coming to church Sunday morning, but guess what? If God is not in your time, calculate on a daily basis, how much time do I spend with God? And how much time I spend on social media? Let me stop right there and go forward. So we look at, let's now look at the nature of idolatry. And now, sometimes people feel that, oh, you know, I'm just a human being. I'm just human, and it's hard. But guess what? Everything starts from in the heart. The heart, so deceitful. It starts from, let's look at the nature of what James said. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away from his what? his own desire. And what? Enticed. Guess what? Those things that we're going to talk about later, when your desire for those things start to grow more than the desire of God, your heart, it starts from within your heart. You start thinking, you start planning what you want to do, X, Y, Z. Now God is not in the picture. Your personal desire often what? Leads to idolatry. I want, I have to get this. I have to be there. Your personal desire, if it is not of God, church, it leads to idolatry. Misplaced trust. Sometimes you trust in the creator things than the creator. Your hope is on things that have been created. Instead of your hope being on the creator, you spend more time on the created things, whereas the creator who created the created thing can provide for you, even though he's the creator of everything. And guess what? That created thing becomes an idol in your what? Life. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Don't sleep on me now. This is a very interesting topic. The nature of idolatry. And not only that, look at Ezekiel say in chapter 14, verse 3 to 4, 5. He said, Digo Moses read so beautiful. He said, son of man. He said, these men have what? Set up their idols in where? In their hearts. And not only that, and put before them that which causes them to what? Stumble into iniquity. God, speaking to the prophet Ezekiel, he said, this is what they have done. They have set up idols in their hearts. Don't you set idols in your heart? Don't be afraid to answer. We are guilty. Once upon a time, I do. And he says that because of the other they have set in their heart, what happened? They stumble into iniquity. They stumble into sin. They become sinful because now they are pursuing those things more than they are pursuing me. They are spending time with those things more than they are spending time with me. They are involved in those things more than they are involved with me. They have neglected me. Remember, God said he's a what? Jealous God. So he said in their hearts they have put idols in their heart. And we all do that. And going forward, he said, therefore, speak to them and say to them, thus says the Lord God, for every one of the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart and puts before me, before him, what causes him to stumble into iniquity, he said, and comes to the prophet, and he said, I, the Lord, answer him who comes according to the multitude of his idol, that I may seize the what? House of Israel of the what? By the heart, because they are estranged me by their idols. They have neglected me for their idols. They have taking things that don't worth their time before me, over me. That's the nature of idols. It takes over our time. It takes over our commitment to God. It takes over our life. It takes over everything that belongs to God. And now we find ourselves running, getting exhausted, beat up, and that we don't even have a single time for God. Those things become idols in our life. That's what idols does. Let us look at common idols today. Common idols today. There are common idols in our life, and we have personal idols. Material possessions. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Don't be afraid. Social media.
Amen.
Thank you. Relationships.
Amen.
Work and career.
Amen.
I thought I was going to yell a big amen for that. It's here. Somebody said it's here. Work and career. There's another thing I don't have up there. But ministry. Ministry. I was reading about that this morning. And I'm like, ooh, I'm guilty. Sometimes you get so busy for the church and not for God. You're doing everything. And God said, yeah, I agree you there. And I was reading the article on the, I forgot his name, but he said, this is what happened as ministers, pastors, and leaders in the church. We get busy and we think we want it to be done for the church, for God. But sometimes it's not for God, it's for ourselves. So he said, you need to take a break. So I said, oh, I'm going to talk to Pastor Gary so we can take some break and refreshing ourselves. He said, Pastor, you need to take a break and have a refresher. Go away. Turn your phone off. I said, oh, Pastor Gary, don't turn your phone off. So maybe the next time he goes, we'll take his phone away from him. But yes, because of the love of God and the church, sometimes God says, hey, I know you're doing that. I love it. But I need you. I need you to spend time with me and praying. I need you to spend time with me reading your work. Let us have that time. We're going to come there later. I just want to talk about Pastor Gary and myself. Then we come to everybody else. We finish with ourselves and come to you guys. So, personal idols, material things, material possessions, social media. Here's the thing about what this idol does for us. How many of us spend time with seeking after material possessions? Thank you for the sister that put her hand all in the back. Praise God for you. Amen. The Lord sees you. Amen. But yeah, we all strive after material possession. We want this, we want that, we want to accumulate everything. And we spend more time on it than we spend time with God. And guess what? It becomes an idol in our lives. Social media. How many of you spend time on your phone all day? Amen. 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 You know, I thank God for our seniors. They don't have to spend time on social media and all those things. But social media today affects our young people. Even some adults.
Yes.
You know, I was reading, not reading, but I was listening to the YouTube program on my way to work, and a guy said, God, always turning on to while driving to work to listen, and he said, sometimes as soon as you get off your bed, the first thing you grab is your cell phone. And where do you go? Straight on the social media website. You go on to TikTok, you go on Facebook, you go all this place and what have you. You spend most of your morning hours on those things, but you don't spend even 1 minute with God. That's an idol right there. That when you get up, the first thing is your cell phone. You want to know what's happening. You want to get the latest things that are happening around. Whereas you could spend that first 5 minutes or 10 minutes with God and just say, Lord, this is the day I just pray and go through, read some word, and begin the day with God. But instead, you begin the day with social media. That's an idol right there. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Relationships. Relationship becomes idols in our life. We attach to certain people more than God. Or sometimes we attach to our family more than God. Even though God provides us the family, but God needs our attention too. If we spend more time with others than we spend with God, those things become idols in our life. Our family, our spouses, our children, we work hard and say, oh, I want to do this for my children. I want them to have a better life. It's good. But when that supersedes God's time, then it becomes an idol in your life. Don't you think God don't want you to take care of your family? Yeah, he does. But if he wants you to take care of family and you spend more time on the thing you have to do to take care of family than to spend time with God who will give you the sense of direction to help you to take care of your family, you're spending the wrong time. Work. Work and career. Now, don't leave from here and say, Pastor, say I shouldn't work too hard. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, don't spend countless hours with work and your career and forget about God. If you work 24/7 that you don't even have the time to even bow your head down and pray, it affects your relationship with God. Because he said, he's a jealous God. Whatever that you place before him affects your relationship. We're going to talk about that later. It affects your relationship with him. So if my work going to serve as an obstacle to God, I have to reposition myself with my job in order that God will be part of my daily life. Sometimes you have gifts, you have talents that you can use for God. But you say, I don't have the time. Because what? You're busy serving, working, pursuing your career, doing other things, but I don't have the time for God. Who gave you time? And who can take time? So time doesn't belong to you, church. So instead of you wasting it behind your idols, spend it with God. You know, I love the picture there. Look at the picture. And everything you can think about is there. No idol. Social media, family, sports. You know, yesterday morning we were at the Wollumbarrow Soccer Field getting prepared for the opening of the Children's League, and the lady said, it's going to be hard to get you guys, especially on Sunday. I said, you bet that. She said, because she know there were two pastors standing there, so she said, if we had games on Sunday, you guys are coaches, it's going to be hard because you can't leave your church. I said, yeah, you're right. Even though we want to help develop our children, but we can't leave our congregation Sunday morning. On Sunday morning, we're going to get a letter, you're fired. Right? Because we're not here to preach Sunday morning. We're not here to teach. We're not here to do what we're supposed to do as pastor. We out there. Oh, the chairman already said that's right. he's already agreed with that. But on a very serious note, those things should not take control of our time that God is not in the picture. It doesn't mean you can't do that. Like we said, we can't be there Sunday morning. Guess what? We're going to be there Saturday morning for the one that we can be there for. During the week, the one we can be there. We can be there. But we're not going to commit to Sunday morning when we're supposed to be in church. And sometimes you want to accomplish those things, but you work so hard, and God, you're not able to supply all my needs according to your riches and glory, so I got to work hard to get it. And that work, your career, becomes an idol in your life. And God says, he will hit that. Now look at a couple of things. Thank you. Come on, idol, say personal. He said, Ezekiel said, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and pulled before them that which causes them to stumble. We talked about that earlier. All these things, our career, our children, our material possession, all these things, they are idols of the heart. You cannot see it. I cannot see it. I don't look at you and say, oh, this is the idol you have. But you know the idols that you are struggling with. And this is why God says, he said, it has caused them to stumble into iniquity. He says, should I let myself be inquired of at all by them? No. That's not what God wants. So we need to work on those things. Let's look at the impact of idols in our life. It affects us spiritually, emotionally, and in our relationship with God. It affects us. The impact of idol in our lives. Let's look at the spiritual consequences. This is why Ezekiel says, therefore speak to them and say to them, thus says the Lord God, every one of the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity and comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him who comes according to the multitude of his idols, that I may seize the house of Israel by the heart because they are all estranged from me by their idols. God is saying to the prophet, he said, because of their idols, they have gone from me. And as you said, God being a jealous God, if we take things before him, guess what? We are separating ourselves from God. We are building that separation that God no longer has control over us. But those things that we have in our heart that we run after, we chase after, we spend our time after, those things now have control of us. Spiritually, we lack that spiritual growth in us. Because we're no longer growing, we're no longer spending time. If we don't spend time with God in his word, if we don't have that direct connection with him, praying, seeking him daily, and these things are serving, taking all our time that we don't have time for God, do you expect to grow spiritually? No. And when you are not growing spiritually, what happens to you? You become dead spiritually. You're not growing. You become dead. You're not spending time in God's word. You're not spending time seeking his face. All those things now take control of you. And when you call him, he's not going to listen to you because you are not taking the time up with him. You lost spiritual discernment. You're not interacting with the Lord. You're not spending time with him. It weakens your spiritual growth. It destroys your spiritual growth and your relationship to him. And not only that, in Romans, Paul says, in Romans chapter 1, verse 21 to 3, he said, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but become futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkening. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creepy things. Paul reminding the believers about how idols in our life will cause us to be. We claim that we know God. We claim that we are saved. We profess it, but we do not glorify him as we ought to. Where are you when God needs you to be that witness for him out there? Where are you when God needs you to serve in the church? Where are you when God needs you to to be available to do the work that he has called you to do. But you are busy. He said you tend to glorify, you tend to know me, but you do not glorify me as God. You do not come to serve me. You do not come to honor me in my house. You do your own thing, but you claim to know me. You do not know me. And we know that. Sometimes we have the title, we have the position, but we're not living to the title with the title and the position that God expects of us. We have a distorted thinking, and it affects our relationship, it affects our walk spiritually with God. And the emotional consequences. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 25. Paul says, they exchange the truth of God for the lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the what? Than the creator, who is blessed forever. They exchange the truth. They look at the truth that this is wrong, that I shouldn't be doing it. But because of that entice, that heart, that desire to want, to achieve, to get those things, they exchange the truth for that which is a lie, that would not benefit their walk with God, that would not help them grow, that would not help them to reach the level that God destined for them. They are filled with discontentment, filled with dissatisfaction, and want to achieve everything. And when you are filled with discontentment, with dissatisfaction, guess what you're going to do? You're going to put God aside and seek to do more that you can achieve, right? And God is no longer in that picture. And that's why Paul said, you exchange the truth of God for the lie. You got all those things, the wealth and everything, guess what? You're not taking it with you. You're going to leave it right here. Somebody else is going to enjoy it. So why not do what you can do for God while you are here? That when that time comes, you say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come and sit on my right hand. Amen. Now, out of the heart, there are four P's, and the bigger one is start with pride. And out of pride is pleasure. That's power, possession, praise of men. Oh, Pastor Ansel is good. He can do this, he can. And then I'm passing around pride. That's idols right there in your heart. That you're not recognizing, you're not giving God the praise, but now you are taking all the praises. You want power, your pleasure, possession, all those things. Those are idols that comes as a result of pride. We talked about pride 2 Sundays ago. What it does to us, it destroys our relationship with God. We put God down and put ourselves over God and say, it's me, I, myself, I responsible, I did it, I. It's all about me. And when it's all about you, you are on the wrong path. So pride, idols of the heart is something that we struggle with. Now listen, why idols of the heart are more dangerous than idols made of wood or stone? 3 reasons. The idol of the heart, no one can see your idols. So that's why I make it more dangerous. Because maybe if we've seen it, we'll say, hey, that idol you're worshiping, you need to get rid of it. But we don't see it, it's in your heart, you know. So it makes it dangerous that you have to battle it. And that's when you need to talk to God and say, God, I don't know what to do, but I think this idol is trying to take control of me. I need you to help me get rid of that idol instead of it getting rid of me. Because only you can see it, you need to talk to God about it. And the second reason is that your heart can deceive you. and make you to feel that, oh, nothing wrong. Nothing wrong to do this. Nothing wrong to want to accept all these things. Nothing wrong to spend time working hard. You got to pay your bills. You got to buy this car. You got to do X, Y, C. Nothing wrong. The heart going to deceive you. And guess what Satan is doing today? Satan is not making you to go and steal, to go and commit murder or do those things. But guess what? Satan is using these idols of your life to cause you not to spend time with God like you need to. Because he knows that the more time you have with God, the less time you're going to have with him. So guess what? He occupies your mind, your heart, so that you can run after these things, to seek after these things. And once you do that, you don't have to do any other thing. He said, I got you. You may come to church Sunday morning, but your heart is still out there thinking about what you got to do Monday morning. And the third reason is the idol of the heart, they are controlling. They're going to control you, your every work of life. They're going to detect to you. They're going to tell you what to do because from your heart, nobody's seeing it. It's you, and you're going to do everything to please others around you because that idol is controlling you. Controlling you that you have no control over it. So God said three things in Ezekiel 14, verse 8. And this is what he said. He said, because he doesn't love idols, he said, I will set my face against that man. That's what God says. That means God said, I'm going to oppose you. I don't like no idols. He gave that command, he said, do not serve no other God before me. And because you are doing it, he said, this is what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to set my face against you. I'm going to oppose you. I'm going to dislike what you are doing. And I'm going to oppose everything of you. Do you want God to oppose you, to set his face against you? And next thing he said, I will make him a sign and a proverb. In a sense, I say, I will make his punishment an example that will become a probable or an act as a deterrent to others. So sometimes when you're going through some stuff and you want to, I don't know what's going on with me. God is punishing you for certain things that you need to step on your brake and say, okay, God, tell me. Because God may be using you as an example for others to see that, hey, he said he's a jealous God. And if you take all the time that you away from him, he's going to do it in a way that you're going to come back running to him. You know, there was this lady, she wrote a book. She was a good diver. I forgot her name, but she was preparing for this Olympic. And she went into her pool where she always practiced do her diving, practice and what have you. But this day she went down and she couldn't come back up. When they brought her up and rushed her to the hospital, she became paralyzed. And diving was everything to her. And she said when she was in her bed, her name, I think Emily something, but I forgot the last name. But she said she was in her bed and God spoke to her and said, I want you to write books about what God can do when you do not spend time with him. And that was her turnaround of her life. Because her focus, her mind was on her career to be the best diver, to go for Olympics and take part in great competition. But God says, hey, you taking that time away and putting your career before me, you're not going to go. This is why. And in her wheelchair, she became a great author. She went on to seminars, spoke, and people got saved because of that. So God can do things when he gets ready, when he says, I will oppose you and I will use you as an example. God is serious, church. And look at 13. He said, I will cut him off from the midst of my people. I mean, he said, I will remove him from among his people. God will take you from among his people. If you are not serving him, I don't know how he's going to do that, but he got his will of doing it. And I don't want to fall prey of that. But he said, I'm going to cut you off. Cut him off from the midst of my people. Remove him from among his people. And I call the last verse the formula, the recognition formula. And this is why he said, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. I'm going to set my face against you. I'm going to make you a sign or a proverb. I'm going to cut you from the midst of my people. And when I've done all of these things, then I will know that he is God. Those idols, he said he's going to, when he steps in, then you're going to realize that he's God. But you don't want God to step in when it's too late. You know, idols, there are some examples in the book of Solomon. Solomon, his idols were women. He had so many wives and concubines. And guess what they did? They brought their foreign gods to him, and he forget the God that made him king. He forgets the God that made him king and concentrate on all the women. And now in Solomon, but this rich young ruler who came to Jesus, and he said, Lord, what can I do to be saved? Jesus said, oh, believe. He said, I do all that. I keep the commandment. I do all that. On the outside, this man professed to be the best Christian. But on the inside, there was an idol that was holding him back. And the idol was possession, money, riches. When Jesus said, oh, since you have done all of this, he said, now go sell all your belongings, everything you have. Sell it, give it to the poor. The Bible said, this man bowed his head and went away sadly. That was his idol, money, possession, riches. He could not let go of it and honor God and serve God. I don't know what your idol may be, but God says he's a jealous God, and he will not. So as we come to a close, a couple of things I want us to recognize. One, recognize how weak idols are. Idols are not strong. In themselves, they are not strong. We gave them the power to be strong over us. If you say, I'm going to manage my time with God and my job, you got control over that. If you say, I'm going to manage my time with my family, you got control over that. If I'm going to manage my time with God over money, you have control over that. They don't have control. They are weak in themselves. Also, recognize how dangerous idols are to you, to me. Before you can overcome idols, you have to recognize, this is going to cost me my relationship with God. This is going to cause me to be separated from God. And because I don't want to be separated from God, I don't want God to cut me off. I don't want God to use me as an example. I don't want God to set his face against me. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to recognize it and get rid of it. And not only that, he said, I'm going to recognize how grievous idols are to God. He said, I'm a jealous God. Therefore, don't put no other God, image, anything before me. Nothing else should come before me. So if you recognize that idol is grievous, God hates it, you're going to be on the right path. And as we close, yeah, something I want us to learn, to get. Ken Collier, he said, there are two choices on the shelf that you need to make. And those two choices are, one, pleasing God, or pleasing self. Am I going to leave pleasing God, or am I going to leave pleasing myself? And that's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7, he says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, he says, do what? All right, help me, guys. We'll soon be out of here. Do all to who? The glory of God. And in 2 Corinthians 5, 9, he says, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to do what? To be well. What? Pleasing who? God.
As we leave from here today, church, by now you should be able to know those idols in your life. You should be able to have a checklist of those idols that you know that nobody else knows. And God says, I'm a jealous God, that you don't put those things before me. He wants your attention. He wants your heart. He wants your love. He wants everything. And if you give him everything and put him before everything of your life, guess what? Even when you face those idols, God is able to deliver you from them. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, as we hear your word, we will understand, Lord, that you have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. And Lord, that we will honor you through your word. And those others that are in our hearts that cause us to stumble, that cause us to be separated from you, O God. We pray, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts. And if you are here this afternoon, you don't know the Lord as your Savior, this is the opportunity that you can surrender to him and know him and help, and he can help you to remove the idols in your life. And even if you are here this afternoon, you are saved and you are struggling with idols in your heart, you can see any of us, the pastors, the deacons, and we can pray along with you. Don't be afraid, don't be ashamed, because God said, if you have shame for me today, I will be ashamed for you about you tomorrow. Dear Lord, thank you for the opportunity to hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The praise team will come and then we'll quickly sing the hymn, I Surrender. Stand, please.
Comes to idols, we think we can sort of do both. We can have God and we can have idols and it'll all work out. But as Pastor Anthony talked about it, how about the fact that idols do what? They separate us from God. So we really can't have one and have God too. And I just want to challenge all of us, challenge me, right? Because I got a whole heart full of idols just like you guys do, right? I want to get God, not the idols. I don't want to be separated from God. I would much rather be separated from the idols I wrestle with. Amen? Lord, help us, Lord, to really take to heart your words of Scripture, even from Ezekiel the prophet, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would challenge us in this area, Lord, of idolatry that we wrestle with so very much. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would be able to shed those idols, that we might truly worship you. And Lord, even as we just sang in the song, that your blessings might really fall upon us. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're a visitor today, Jonathan's going to be